Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the warning we hear here. And Lord, help us to, as we open your word, apply your truth to our lives. Help us to be your salt and your light. Help us to, to stand up for your truth, to influence the culture that we live in. Father, help us not to keep sliding down the slippery slope that we're on. We pray, Father, for revival to take place in your church and then through your church to this nation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The real state of the union. It's a sad state of the union. It's a sad state. We have come so far from where we originally started. This nation was conceived and dedicated and inspired on biblical principles, on the Word of God. Now, is that to say that everybody involved in it were Christian? No, obviously that's not the case. But we see historically that that's what this nation was founded upon. Not too many years ago, we can remember where the nation was still following, at least in some regards, that path. But we seem to have, I don't know, since the 1950s, the 1960s, strayed greatly from that path and are going downhill at a ever frightening and ever increasing pace. Some things we want to look at today as we go. First of all is the scripture from Psalm chapter 33, verses 11 through 12. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Look at that. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. I couldn't help but notice the rabbi made mention of it. The Israelites were warned countless times that if you as a people take God out of the public square, if you take God out of your lives, if you lift up pagan idols in God's place, judgment will come. Do we think that we're going to be exempt from that judgment? No, we're not. We are doing the exact same thing that ancient Israel did. And Israel was warned, and friends, we have been warned as well. It's contained in his word countless times, and if we don't heed it, we do so at our peril. Let's keep going. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Can you turn these lights on up here, Connor? Right here. Thank you. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our God, now look at this, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God, and that's a God with a little g, the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So many times we see that God has over and over again proclaimed his truth and given his truth and given his revelation, and yet people act like, I don't see it. They don't see it because they are blinded by the God with a little g of the age. Now, who is the God with a little g? Satan. The God of the age, of the present age, the prince of the power of the air. He's got different names, but it's the same old enemy, Satan. Remember we saw in John chapter 10 where Satan comes for three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And his sights are on this nation, and we are up to our eyeballs in water. The ship is sinking. And if we do not do something quickly, this nation will go the same way that ancient Israel did as well. We are not an exception. We are not immune to the Word of God, to the truth of God, to the judgment of God. If we as a nation turn our backs upon God, thumb our nose in His face, and say, well, we know you said, but we're going to do this. Well, then we're going to reap the whirlwind when we do that. Let's keep going. George Washington, the rabbi alluded to George Washington, and he had several things to say about our young nation. Government is not reason. Government is not eloquence. It is force. Now, this is George Washington. Look at this. Government is not reason. Government is not eloquence. It is force. And like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. Do not expect government to save you. Do not expect government to be revived. It's not going to happen. Revival is going to come from the church. We, as God's people, as the church of God, are going to have to influence the culture. Washington is not going to change. They are not going to change unless we change them. They're going to keep doing what they've been doing until they go down and take us along with them. If they're going to change, we're going to have to change them. Do you hear me? We are going to have to change them. It is impossible, look at this second quote, it is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible. Where do you find those two things now? Nowhere. Pull out the Bible and see what they say. Mention the name of Jesus Christ and see what they say. You can talk about Muhammad. You can talk about anything you want to until you mention the name of Jesus Christ, and then you've gone to meddling. Then you raise all kinds of problems. But George Washington said over 250 years ago, it is not, notice he didn't say it was just a good idea. He said it is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible. You do well to wish to learn our arts and our ways. This was a letter he wrote to someone in another country. You do well to wish to learn our arts and our ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. These will make you a greater and happier people than you are. We ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. The rabbi made reference to that quote right there. So what's he saying here? George Washington is saying, if we don't recognize as a nation, if we don't recognize who God is and give Him the place He deserves, we can ill expect God's blessing on this nation. As a matter of fact, you're going to have the opposite of His blessings. You're going to have His judgment. You're going to have His judgment. And let me warn you. Let me warn you. The Israelites countless times believed that, you know, they got warnings from the prophets. But the people said, you know what? We are God's chosen people. He's not going to let this pagan nation do anything. Well, guess what happened? God used that pagan nation to bring judgment. He did it time and time again. He used Philistines. He used the Assyrian Empire. He used the Babylonian Empire. He used the Medo-Persian Empire. He used the Greek. Do you get what I'm saying? The Israelites thought that nobody can touch us. We're God's people. Well, that's true if you're following what God is saying. But if you're not, He warned them, and He warns us today. If you're not following Me, judgment's going to follow. Judgment is going to follow. Let's keep going. Excuse me. Three things we want to look at today very quickly. First of all, I want to see what our current state is. You need to know where you are. Where am I? Where are we as a nation? Well, I'll tell you where we are as a nation. We're on quicksand. We're on quicksand. And we've gotten there step by step by taking God out of the public square, by taking God out of the schools, by saying we can't talk about Jesus, by saying, you know, if you want to worship Jesus in the privacy of your own home or in your church, that's fine, but don't come out here and talk about Him. Well, if you don't talk about Jesus out here, then He's not Lord at all, is He? And if He's not Lord, then God help us, because the nation is going to go under. Woe to those, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Is that not where we are today? Look at that. Woe to those who call evil good. That's where we are today. They want to say, oh, this perverted lifestyle is normal. You know, this is okay, that's okay, because we feel like it should be. Don't matter what God says, I feel like such and such, so it's got to be that way. Most of the people feel like this, so it's got to be that way. The court says this, so it's got to be that way. Never mind what God says about it. Let's keep going. What is the current state of our nation? Well, here's a few things. We decry sexual assault. We say, oh, you know, it's horrible. And yet, we say that it's okay for grown men to go in the same bathroom with our young daughters. Now, what kind of nation does that? We decry sexual assault, but it's okay for this grown man to go in a bathroom with small girls. We call evil an alternative lifestyle. You are involved in some kind of evil activity according to God's Word. And you say, well, you know what? It's okay. I'm not bothering anybody else. It's just my lifestyle. And we say, okay, that's fine. It's not okay. It's not fine. We proclaim diversity, and yet we prohibit the practice of Christianity. Everybody is tolerated unless you're a Christian. You ever notice that? You can be Islam, you can be Jewish, you can be Wiccan, you can be whatever. And everything's great. Everybody's just good and dandy. But you mention Jesus Christ, you talk about Him, you talk about His Word, you live like that, and they are offended. Yes, Satan is offended. Absolutely, Satan is offended by the Word of God. He's offended by the name of Jesus. He is terrified of the name of Jesus, and he will fight tooth and nail to prevent that name from being spoken in the public square. Speak His name. Live His name. Influence the people in public square. Why are we afraid to mention the name of Jesus? I'm going to offend someone. We need to offend some people. We need to offend some people. God's Spirit will offend you, and that's okay. We need to be offended sometimes. How are we going to come to a realization that I need a Savior, that I'm a sinner, if I'm not offended? If I think everything's great, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all hunky-dory, you're not going to realize you need a Savior. God's Word is going to show you your picture compared to Jesus, and it's not going to be pretty. And we don't like that. We get offended by that. Well, that's okay. We need to be offended sometimes. The culture doesn't like us. Well, God's Word tells us that the world is not going to like you. It didn't like Jesus, did it? They crucified Jesus. So don't expect the world to like you. It's not going to. If you're a Christian, expect to be persecuted. Expect to be put down. Expect resistance. And that's okay. Because we serve the Lord Christ. We don't serve the way of the world. We're called to be His salt and His light. We're not called to be like the world. Amen? All right, let's keep going. We declare religious freedom, but yet we keep God out of the public square. When I was going to school, we had prayer in the morning. We had a Bible verse in the morning. Now, of course, you know, we're talking about first grade, second, third grade. But the teacher made us all sit together at the table in the lunchroom, and the teacher said blessing before we ate our meal. Oh, man, they would fire a teacher today if they did that. We opened every football game with prayer. The band director and the football coach would not practice on Wednesday nights. Why? Because they didn't want to practice on Wednesday? No, because there was church on Wednesday nights. Now we have games on Sunday. Our motto, our national motto, take a coin out, look at it. It says, "In God we trust," and yet we disdain His word and His way at every opportunity. We make fun of Christians. The news media makes fun. Celebrities make fun of Christians. And yet our motto is, "In God we trust." Do we? We don't look like it. As a nation, it don't look like we do. If you don't trust in God, who you trust in? Yourself? Boy, I hope not. Trust in Washington. How about that? No, deliver us from that. We sacrificed millions in 2015 at the time Rabbi Kahn made that speech. It was 55 million children. 55 million. And that's 3 years ago. I don't know what the number is today. 55 million children on the altar of convenience, and that's what it is. Now, I'm sure there probably are a few medical abortions that maybe are required to save the mother's life. I'm not going to say there's not, but there's not 55 million of them. Rabbi Kahn alluded to the fact that ancient Israel started raising up pagan altars. And when you read in Scripture where it says they made their children pass through the fire, what's it talking about? It's talking about child sacrifice to Baal, to Molech, to Ashtoreth. They sacrificed their children to pagan gods. We're doing the same thing today. We're doing the same thing today. Now, some of them are being sacrificed by abortion. But some of them are being sacrificed by just being let go and raised by the culture. If you let a child be raised by the culture, guess who's going to raise that child? Satan. Satan. I promise you, if you leave the child alone, Satan's going to find him. I promise you. Y'all remember Squeaky Fromm? I know younger people won't remember her, but she tried to assassinate the president. She was a follower of Charles Manson. If you remember Charles Manson, Sharon Tate murder case, he was a devil worshiper. I was reading a book and was talking about her. How did she get into that? She was basically just let go. Her family didn't really care much about her, didn't have much to do with her, and she was on the street. She said nobody cared about her. And this man walked up to her and put his arm around her shoulder and took care of her, and his name was Charles Manson. And she did anything he wanted, anything he said, up to and including trying to kill the President of the United States. Satan will find him if we leave him abandoned. He'll put them to use. That's the current state of our union. It's not pretty, and it's getting worse. We were warned, and I could pull up all kinds of scripture, Matthew chapter 24, others. We warned over and over again of what it's going to look like. And yet, we seem to be asleep. The nation doesn't care. The world doesn't care. The government doesn't care. But we're the church. We should care. And too often times, we look like we're asleep at the wheel. As the ship is going down, we need to wake up. Let's keep going. So that's our current state. Well, where are we headed? What's our destination? We need to understand, Scripture says plainly, over and over again, that God sets up and takes down kingdoms. He has done it from ages past. He does it today, and He will keep doing it until He returns. Any nation that does not regard God, that is filled with their own self-pride and self-centeredness, is going down. Don't care who they are. Rome was probably the most powerful empire that the world had seen. And yet Rome crumbled from the inside out, I might add. Great Britain was a powerful empire at one time. Look where they are today. The United States has been on the fast track. We are a young nation compared to a lot of nations. And yet we are a lot further along degradation than some of those are. We are very close as the church. We are very close to being where the church is in Europe, where it's just a figurehead thing. Only old people go. We are not going to be long here if we forget God. If we continue to turn away from Him, His judgment awaits. Individually and corporately. God tells us if we turn our backs on Him, if we go our own way, judgment's going to come. Now you might say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, and I am greatly enthusiastic that you are. But if you are walking away from God, even as a Christian, God's chastisement can come upon you. David was a man after God's own heart, but he walked away, didn't he? For a season. And God brought judgment and chastening in David's life. He will do that in our life as well, because His aim is to restore us back to a relationship and to fellowship with Him. And it will start, usually, it starts with a soft voice and gentle correction. And then it may get bigger and bigger. And there is a sin that leads to death. Now, Scripture plainly says that is true. It doesn't describe what it is, but I don't want to get that close to it. Amen? I want to stay away from that. I want to be following. I want to hear Him say, good job, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to be walking in the way of the Lord. I want to be abiding in the vine as He is in the vine. I want to be in the light. I want to be doing what He's called me to do. I want the church to be doing that as well. We have got to influence the culture. We have got to be the light. We have got to be the salt. Now, we speak the truth in love. You don't go convince somebody of the gospel of Christ with a hammer. You can't beat the love of God into them, right? You can't do that. Everybody has their own decision they have to make. But we are to influence. Don't be afraid to engage culture in truth. Scripture says to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have, and that hope is in Christ. Why do you believe in Christ? Why do you follow Christ? Why do you love Christ? Tell them. Better yet, show them. There needs to be something different about what occurs in this body of believers than what happens out there. If you are no different inside here and in this body of believers than the world is out there, then something's wrong. The church needs to be drastically different from the world. Drastically different from the world. If we sow to the flesh, Scripture says we will reap the whirlwind. How many of you guys saw the television pictures of the tornado that went through Tuscaloosa back a few years ago? That's probably the longest filmed tornado on record. I forgot what television tower it was that showed that huge tornado bearing down on Tuscaloosa. And if you know, I got to thinking as I was looking at that, if you lived in Tuscaloosa, there's nothing you can do except take shelter. You can't stop it. You can't make it turn. You can't make it weak. All you can do is get away from it. Scripture says, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap the whirlwind. As a nation, that's what's going to happen to us, and that is what is happening to us. We have sown to, as a nation, we have sown to the flesh, and now we are reaping the whirlwind. Thirdly, how are we going to correct it? What is the correction? Well, here's a verse of Scripture I'm sure you are familiar with. It comes from Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. God speaking. This is in answer to Solomon's prayer. Solomon was dedicating the temple, and he prayed to God. He said, God, when these things happen, will you do this? When these things occur, will you do this? When pestilence, when famine, when all these things occur, God, will you do this? And this is part of God's answer to Solomon. God said, if my people who are called by my name. Now, who is he talking to? He's talking to us. He's not talking to the government. He's not talking to the halls of Congress, the Supreme Court, or the office of the president. He's talking to his church. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, you see, this is an if-then statement. This is a conditional statement. If you will do this, then I will respond. If you will humble yourselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from your wicked ways. Four conditions. Humble yourselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from your wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. Friends, our land is in desperate need of healing. Seriously in need of healing. I'm not as young as I used to be. But I can tell you, in the years of my life, I have never seen this nation as polarized, as partisan, and as divided as it is today. Ever. And I don't know where we're going to go from here. Yeah, I tell you where we're going to go. If we don't turn around, we're going to fall apart. That's not prophetic. That's just wisdom. If this nation does not turn around, we are going to fall into pieces. It's what happened to Rome. It's what happened to Israel. It's what happened to Great Britain, Germany, every other empire, Babylon, Assyria, Medo-Persia, Macedonia, Greece, Egypt, all of them. They fell to pieces, and we will too if we do not turn around. If we do not humble ourselves, if we do not pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, then God will not hear, He will not move His hand, and He will not heal this land. This nation will cease to exist. The prophecies, if you want to use that term, the prophetic warnings of George Washington are coming to pass. And we will reap the consequences. The only hope this nation has, the only hope any of us have, is in Christ and in Christ alone. If you are here today and you do not know Jesus, then you are dead in your trespasses and sin. This nation is dead in its trespasses and sin if we don't turn to Him. Please pray for this nation. Please be salt and light for this nation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do not leave this building today until you have talked to somebody and prayed with somebody to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Here's your compass point. We're called to be salt and light. Revival can only start here in His church. Not going to start in Washington. Not going to start in Montgomery. It's going to start here. Our hope, our only hope, is in Jesus Christ. It's not in the halls of Washington, in Congress, not the president, not the Supreme Court. Let me encourage you. Let me admonish you. Let me challenge you to live out your faith every day, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but at work, at school, with friends, with family. Challenge the culture. Engage the culture. Pray for the culture. Pray for anybody before you talk to them about Jesus. Pray for them first. Let God's Spirit guide you. Scripture says, don't worry about what you will say, because in that time, God's Spirit will give you the words you need to speak. But we need to be in a relationship with Jesus before we can do that. We've got to be following close by Him. Friends, please, please, do not let this nation be like ancient Israel. Do not let our children wonder what happened to this nation. Do not let our grandchildren wonder, well, what exactly was all of this about? What happened to the grand experiment in democracy? If this nation is going to exist until Jesus Christ returns, then we're going to have Him as our Lord and Master. If He is not, then this nation will not be here when He returns. Father, thank You for Your words. Thank You for Your warning. Lord, as we look upon the state of this nation, it's not comfortable. It's not easy. And yet, Lord, we know that You've warned us about this. God, help us to humble ourselves and pray and seek Your face. Help us to turn from our wicked ways, Lord, and then we know that You will hear from heaven, move Your hand, and heal our land. This is Your time. We are Your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open.